Service tonight is at 6 o'clock. There is a both messages today, this morning and tonight. I'm speaking on a subject that I don't like very much, and that's Satan. And today we look at the temptation of our Lord in Matthew chapter 4. And then tonight I'll be in Revelation chapter 13 with the personages that are listed there, and Satan is one of those. And just so happened that these messages came together in the way that they did. In Matthew chapter 4 and verse number 1, "Then was Jesus led up of the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. And when he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, he was afterward and hungered. And when the tempter came to him, he said, If thou be the Son of God, command that these stones be made bread. But he answered and said, It is written, Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. Then the devil taketh him up into the holy city, and setteth him on a pinnacle of the temple, and saith unto him, If thou be the Son of God, cast thyself down, for it is written, He shall give his angels charge concerning thee, and in their hands they shall bear thee up, lest at any time thou dash thy foot against a stone. Jesus said unto him, It is written again, Thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. Again the devil taketh him up into an exceeding high mountain, and showeth him all the kingdoms of the world, and the glory of them, and saith unto him, All these things will I give thee, if thou wilt fall down and worship me. Then said Jesus unto him, Get thee hence, Satan, for it is written, Thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve. Then the devil leaveth him, and behold, angels came and ministered unto him." In Luke 4, verse 1 through 13, we have the same account. Two of the temptations are inverted, these last two. But it is the same account in Luke 4, verse 1 through 13. In Mark chapter 1 and verse 12 and 13, the Bible says that the Spirit, after Christ was baptized, and the Spirit came down upon Christ and testified to John the Baptist that Jesus is the Son of God, that well pleases the Father. Then the Bible says there that Christ was caught away by the Spirit. He was driven into the wilderness to face this temptation in 40 days of fasting and prayer. We saw the test of who Jesus is as the King of the Jews, the Messiah, and the Christ in Matthew chapter 1 and verse 1 through 17, the genealogy that was recorded there. We saw this was given to be a proof for the test that Christ met the requirements to be the son of Abraham, the son of David, the rightful heir to the throne of the nation of Israel. And then we saw the test at his baptism when John the Baptist introduced him to the people as the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world, and how the Holy Spirit came down upon him visibly in a sign to John the Baptist that this is the Christ. And now we're seeing a test by Satan that Jesus is tested before he begins his public ministry and before he calls his disciples unto himself. He spends this long season of fasting and prayer, and Satan comes upon him to test him and to tempt him. 40 days and 40 nights fasting. That's an extreme amount to test the physical body. The Islam, followers of Islam, have a time of their feast celebration called Ramadan. And they fast during that 30 days of Ramadan. But they fast only during the daylight hours. They eat at night when they go home at night, and they can eat before they go out in the daylight, but they fast during the daylight hours in their religion, and their prayers are ritual prayers five times a day, basically saying the same thing when they pray. We aren't given the context of all the things that Jesus would have prayed, but fasting is only dieting if you don't pray. Fasting and prayer go together. We skip a meal or we skip a day of eating to spend time with God, to feel the urgency of your hunger, drawing you close to the Lord, to seek His need and His help that He might intervene in our circumstances of life. Jesus is about to go through all these next 3 years or 3.5 years of time where people will reject Him, and He will know the hearts of men and be moved with compassion over the multitudes, and He will give His life on Calvary's cross. And after teaching His disciples over and over and over again, they still don't get it until He comes to the point of the resurrection from the dead and He reveals Himself to them at that time. So Christ is facing all these things, knowing full well what He's going to do, and He's praying and fasting and drawing close to the Father during this time, and Satan comes upon Him. When you read all these accounts, it would give you the idea that for the whole 40 days, Satan is tempting Him. Satan is allowed to test our Lord. God allowed Satan in the Garden of Eden in the original creation. Adam and Eve were created and placed in a beautiful garden that God had made. Imagine the beauty of it. Imagine that without sin in the world, without the decays that come along with sin, the beauty and the peace that Adam and Eve had in the Garden of Eden that God had created. But Satan came and he tempted them in that beautiful garden, and they failed in the temptation and disobeyed God. Now Jesus is being tempted in a wilderness, in a desert place, in a place where He's fasted for 40 days and 40 nights, and Satan comes upon Him. We know more about God allowing men to be tested when we study the book of Job and see the contest that took place between God and Satan in allowing Job to be tested and go through everything that Job went through. Now Jesus is being tested, and the Bible says that Christ was tempted in all points like we are, yet without sin. He did not commit sin because He didn't have the nature of sin that you and I have, being connected humanly to Adam and Eve. But He, through the virgin birth, has the nature of God, not the nature of man, even though He took on the body of man that He might die as our representative to pay for our sin debt. All the ways that we are tempted, our Savior went through that. He understands your needs. He understands your tests. He understands your pains. He understands your sufferings. Jesus came to provide redemption for fallen man, and Satan's tempting of Adam and Eve, they sinned before God and brought the nature of all their children, were born with a sinful nature because of their failure. Romans chapter 5 verse 12 says, "Wherefore as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all had sinned." Until Adam and Eve sinned in the garden, there was no death. Death came as a result of sin. Romans 6:23 says, "For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord." So we receive eternal life by receiving Christ as our Savior. We receive a new nature from God that comes because of what Christ did for us when he died on Calvary. In 1 Corinthians 15 and verse 20, the scripture says, "But now is Christ risen from the dead and become the first fruits of them that slept. For since by man came death, by man came also the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam all die, even so in Christ shall all be made alive. But every man in his own order, Christ the first fruits, afterwards they that are Christ at his coming." So our resurrection is tied to Christ's resurrection. Man sinned and passed death upon us, so Christ took on the flesh of man that he might die as our substitute and vicariously suffer for us and pay the debt for our redemption. Now Christ is experiencing this 40-day fast alone in the wilderness. Satan seeks to get Jesus to act on his desires of the flesh, his hunger, without seeking the Father's will, without waiting on the Father's care. We see when all the temptation was over for this period of time that angels came and ministered to him. But that was not going to happen until first he went through this testing that he had to suffer. Now, Satan had been very successful in the wilderness with the nation of Israel. They had failed over and over for 40 years wandering in the wilderness before getting into Canaan land that God had promised to give to Abraham and to all of his descendants. And Satan had tempted the people and worked upon their emotions. They were thirsty out there in the wilderness. But instead of praying and seeking God, they murmured and complained and blamed Moses and blamed God for bringing them out in the wilderness to die. Because of that, Satan got the victory over the nation of Israel in the wilderness. But Satan lost the battle with the Lord Jesus Christ in the wilderness. Satan works to tempt us, and he's very effective. He wants us to be impatient, waiting on God. In 2020, and now beginning in 2021, it has been very difficult for us to be patient with the circumstance of our society and what we've been going through. We want it to be over, and we want it to be over right now. But I want to say to you that nothing we've gone through has happened without God's knowledge. I can't tell you, I can give you all the purposes and all the reasons that we've experienced what we have politically and economically and spiritually and all these sort of things. But I can tell you, I know the difference between stuff that the devil is involved in and those things that God is involved in. And it's important that we stay close to the Lord and believe God and pray and wait on the Lord to bring us the victory. Satan basically tempts Jesus by saying, "Since you're the Son of God, then why should you be hungry?" We know that Jesus has the power. He turns later the few fish and few loaves of bread into enough to feed 5,000 people. On one occasion, 4,000. And the 5,000, one of our gospels says, does not include the women and the children. He seated the people down and he took these and he blessed them and he broke them and he passed them out. And not only did they feed 5,000, but they took up 12 baskets full of fragments after it was over with. Jesus has the power to turn these stones into bread, but he knows that would be to act independent of God's will. It would be to satisfy Satan's temptation, not to satisfy the Father. And Jesus came to do the Father's will. It's important that we don't become impatient waiting on the Lord. In Matthew 4 and verse 4, Scripture says, Jesus quoted, "It is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God." That is a quote from Deuteronomy chapter 8 and verse number 3. God was testing Israel in the wilderness during that time. And this is where God brought manna and fed the nation of Israel. And that manna is a type of the Lord Jesus himself. His body was broken for us. His blood was shed for us. He is the one who gives us eternal life by partaking of him. And man does not exist simply by eating of bread and drinking of water. We're taught in 1 Corinthians 10:13 that there's no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted above that ye are able. And what happens to us when we yield to temptation? It is not that we waited, it is that we became impatient. It is that we yield our desires rather than to the will of God. It is important that we learn to put on the whole armor of God and stand against the wiles of the devil. We're going to face that all of our human lives. In the book of Ephesians chapter 6, Ephesians 6, the Bible tells us about that armor and the battle that we face with Satan's temptations. In verse 10 it says, "Finally, brethren, be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil." The devil is a very wily foe. He understands men's weaknesses. He understands how to tempt. We are to put on the whole armor of God to be able to stand against him, because we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers and against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Therefore, it's vital that we put on the whole armor of God. Now, Jesus used Scripture to defeat Satan. And we must not be ignorant of Satan's devices. In 2 Corinthians 2:11, we are told that, as Paul wrote about the problem of forgiving someone who'd been put out of the church because of their sin, and that after they had suffered, it was important for the congregation to restore those who are repentant, who God has dealt with in chastening. And if we are unwilling to forgive those who have sinned against us, then that's the context of beware the effort of Satan to get us not to forgive, because we are not ignorant of his devices. He uses bitterness and resentments that people hold on to in the same way that he uses other temptations. Satan blinds the minds of men to keep them ignorant of the will of God. It's vital that we know God's will and that we yield to do God's will, not live according to our desires and the efforts of our flesh. Psalm 119:11 says, "Thy word have I hid in mine heart that I might not sin against thee." That committing to memory the word of God. You know, Jesus quoted multiple scriptures throughout the Gospels. He quoted a major portion of the Old Testament scriptures. Only one time are we given the insight of Jesus reading the Bible. And that was when he was in the synagogue in Luke chapter 4 at Nazareth. He took up the book, the Bible, and he read from Isaiah the daily reading in the Jewish religion of their worship service. And he said, this day are these scriptures fulfilled in your ears. Because he was reading of revealing himself as the Messiah to his people. But anywhere else, Jesus simply quoted the scriptures. He knew all of the Bible. As a 12-year-old, he sat in the temple with the doctors of the law and confounded them with his questions and his knowledge and his understanding of the Word of God. It is vital that we study and put forth a diligent effort to understand the Word of God, that we might rightly interpret it to show to God that we are His workmen and that we should not have to be ashamed in our knowledge of His Word. I ask you today, do you know the Scriptures well enough that the Holy Spirit can bring to your mind when you're tempted? Can God bring a passage to your mind that you've committed to memory to give Satan scripture as Jesus gave Satan scripture instead of yielding to his temptations? Jesus was saturated with the knowledge of his word, and it affected every aspect of his life. As he walked with his disciples for 3.5 years, he continuously taught them and gave them illustrations and gave them inside knowledge. And even after his resurrection on the road to Emmaus, when he appeared to the two disciples, they said, did not his word burn within us when we walked with him along the way? What comes to your mind when you face temptations? Satan tempts us to put the physical ahead of the spiritual. He can tempt us to sleep when we ought to be working. He can tempt us to eat when we ought to be praying. He can tempt us to partake sinful things that result in our ineffectiveness for God, putting our desires ahead of the will of God, becoming impatient so that our desires cause us to fall into the traps that Satan will put in our way. Jesus taught his disciples to pray the Lord's Prayer as a method of understanding how to pray, exalting the Father to begin with in the prayer, in praise and giving glory, and then seeking our daily needs to be met and relying upon God to supply those daily needs. Included in that daily need is the forgiveness of our sins and our forgiving of others of their sins who have sinned against us. Now understand that Satan knows how to tempt. Satan knows how to use bait. He used Scripture to tempt the Lord Jesus. Satan knows his Bible pretty well. I wonder if we know it as well as he does. He uses expensive lures. He uses the beauty of men and women to tempt with sexual temptations. I've done a little bit of fishing in my adult life. I love to fish for largemouth bass. I love to lure them to bite and then to set the hook and fight them with the reeling them in and landing them in the boat. But I'm not like these fellows you see on television. They practice catch and release in all these tournaments. They catch the fish and they put them back in the water after they weigh them. Well, I put them in the live well and take them home and clean them and cook them and eat them, you know. I tell people I don't practice catch and release. I practice catch and grease. That's what I like is fried fish. And I'm after them for that reason. And Satan is not tempting people to release them. Satan is tempting people to destroy them. In the bass market today with all these bass pro shops and Cabela's and all these kind of things, they have lures that are very expensive. A little plug that imitates a small fish is $20. And they have titanium wire in spinnerbaits so that when the fish bites it, it doesn't bend it all to pieces. You can fold it and it'll spring right back into its original shape again because it's made from titanium wire. But those are extremely expensive. And Satan uses the very best lures to tempt you because he cannot steal your soul if you're saved. So he wants to make you ineffective for God to keep you from helping other people to be saved and to bring glory to God in your daily life. Satan's temptations work against us constantly. All sin results from the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eye, and the pride of life. That is how Satan tempted Adam and Eve, and that's how Satan tempts us, and that's how Satan tried to tempt the Lord Jesus. He may not be able to tempt you to leave church today and go out and get drunk. He probably can't tempt you to leave church today and go out and commit adultery. But he can very easily tempt a Christian to be angry when he should not, and to be bitter, and to be judgmental of other people, and to gossip, and to slander. And he tempts us all the time to be discouraged with God, and to resent that God withholds from us prohibitions of things that we're not to do. And Satan effectively works in that way. He is the original transformer. You young people know what transformers are, don't you? They've been movies about the transformers. There's been the big old plastic dolls that, you know, turn into something else as transformers. And Satan is the original transformer. He's transformed into an angel of light that he might deceive people. And Satan can put on an appearance that draws people into temptation. Jesus' rebuke is, "It is written, thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God." Israel tempted God in the wilderness. In Deuteronomy 6:16 and Exodus 17 and verse 7, they were tempted because they were thirsty at Massah. They were thirsty because the waters were bitter. There was no water to drink. And instead of praying and seeking the Lord, they complained and murmured and grumbled. And God showed Moses a particular tree to cut down and cast into the waters that purified the waters and made them safe to drink. You see, God can supply your needs. He's promised to supply your needs. Don't let Satan tempt you to disobey the Lord and do wrong. The Bible's filled with the warnings of our future, of how men will become ignorant of God and living according to sinful pleasure. 1 Timothy 4 and 2 Timothy 3, the Bible says, perilous times will come. Men will be lovers of their own selves. Perilous times, because men, instead of loving God, will love themselves. They'll be covetous. They desire what they don't have, what others have. They are boasters, imposters in their pride, boasting. They exalt themselves, blasphemers, speaking evil of spiritual things, disobedient to parents. Remember, Adam and Eve did not commit a great long list of fleshly sins. Adam and Eve simply disobeyed God. And children, disobedient to parents is listed among the list of the desperation of sinful man becoming as wicked as he can be. Unthankful, unholy, without natural affection. People become hard-hearted and commit all kinds of sins that you would never have thought people would do without natural affection. I place abortion in the list of people being without natural affection. Truce breakers. You can't put any confidence in their word because they are truce breakers. They make no covenant with God and they make no covenant with man. They make promises they never intend to keep. False accusers. Incontinent. Older we get, we understand what being incontinent is. It simply means a lack of control, not having power. And to be incontinent with sin means to have no resisting of sin. Fierce, meaning savage, untamed. People that will do things that you just can hardly imagine. If you read a large daily newspaper, they will list many arrests and crimes and things of that nature. And people will do things that you hardly can imagine that people would do. But my friend, the worst thing your mind can imagine, there's somebody out there probably doing that right now as a result of Satan and his temptations. Despisers of those that are good. Bible says, woe unto a nation when they call good evil and evil good. And those of us with some age have seen this nation change in its opinion of publicness about God to such a degree that people stand against the things of God in His Word today, and they are despisers of those that are good. Traitors. Heady. Heady means reckless and rash, high-minded, hot-headed in pride, lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness but denying the power thereof. There's a lot, I don't care which politician you look to, they've got a side of them where they claim to be religious. A lot of the politicians like Nancy Pelosi and Biden, they're Catholics. And they probably couldn't quote you a verse of Scripture unless somebody gave it to them on a piece of paper to read. They don't know the Bible. They don't know God. They don't live for God. But they're religious. They got a little religion. And the devil loves that. He'll yield to you having a little religion as long as you don't glorify God and commit your life to Jesus Christ. They have a form of godliness, but they deny the power thereof. Satan's false spirits are everywhere. 1 John 4:1, we are to try the spirits because there are many false prophets that have gone into the world. I'll close with this. Peter was a disciple of the Lord. He was a very strong one of the disciples who spent most of the time. Peter, James, and John spent more time with the Lord. They were that inner circle of disciples. And Satan, Jesus told Peter, Satan has desired to sift you like wheat. He wanted to destroy Peter. Peter had made bold statements. He had invited Satan's temptation by saying, I will never deny you. Though everybody else denies you, Lord, I will never do that. And that invited the devil to destroy him with his own words. But Christ prayed for him that his faith would not fail. Our battle is not with flesh and blood, friends. It's with principalities, the chiefest of magistrates of the spiritual world, the authorities in the rulers of darkness, the spiritual wickedness in high places. Peter wrote after he went through his temptation that we are to be sober and vigilant because our adversary, the devil, is like a roaring lion going about seeking whom he may devour. And friends, this battle is real. It is unseen because it is spiritual in the invisible world. But it is real. It's just as real as God. And God is real. And He will help you and strengthen you. And He's taught us to yield ourselves to Him, submit ourselves to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from us. Quote Scripture, "The Lord rebuke you, Satan, get you hence." And he's going to have to listen, because that's not your power talking, that's God's power talking. Christ overcame Satan with the Word of God. And God has given you that same opportunity to use the Bible to overcome all the temptations of the devil. Father, we thank you for the faithfulness of your people in being here today. This passage of hearing of our Lord's test and what our Savior went through for us, and the revealing of how we can overcome Satan with the temptations that we face. Father, we have all failed in temptations at some point, and we are to confess that to you and seek your cleansing and seek to be strong that we don't face those same temptations and fail in the same way again. Help us to glorify you with our lives and give you praise and thanks for all of your blessings. Bless your people now as they travel home, we ask in Jesus' name. Amen.